The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we have two well-known and two well-loved stories, one from the Old Testament and the other from the New. And both stories share the same issue, which is fear. The first is the story of Elijah. We love this text. We love hearing how God is not in the wind or in the earthquake or in the fire, but that God is in the still, small voice. And we love the imagery. We quote it frequently, but we don't always remember the context of the story. There was a war raging in the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom was split into two. The people's spiritual allegiance was split between the God of the Jews and Baal, the God of King Ahab's wife, Jezebel. And there was a test to see who was really God. 450 prophets called upon Baal to bring fire to light their wood and burn their sacrifice. But not a thing happened. No voice, no answer, no response from Baal, no fire. And then it was Elijah's turn. And he built an altar of 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. He soaked the wood with so much water that it poured out into a trench. And Elijah called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent a fire which consumed the wood, the sacrifice, the stones, and even the water in the trench. To top it off, Elijah then wiped out all 450 of Queen Jezebel's favored prophets. Queen Jezebel then pronounced a death threat on Elijah. Elijah went from the top of his prophetic career to running for his life in fear. He gave up. He hid in a cave. Fear overwhelmed him, and fear froze him. Last week in our Gospel from Matthew, Jesus blessed the loaves and the fish so that the disciples could feed 5,000 men and another 10,000 women and children. And there were baskets of food that were left over. It was a peak for the disciples. They saw and experienced the compassion and the miracle of being blessed by Jesus. It was one of the high points of their ministry. But fast forward to our gospel today, and now the disciples are out in the boat. It's the darkest part of the night, and they are battered by the waves. The evil waters of chaos threaten their boat and their lives. And then at the height of their fear, they see a ghost. But Jesus tells them, do not be afraid, that it's him, Jesus. But Peter's still not sure. Who would expect to see Jesus as a ghost walking on the water in a storm? And Peter tells Jesus that if it really is him, he'd like to walk on water too. So Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water, or tries to. But as the fear overtakes him, he can no longer keep moving forward. He can't keep walking towards Jesus, but he starts to sink into the raging, storm-swept sea. Fear overtakes Elijah, causing him to hide in a cave and asking the Lord to end his life. Fear overtakes Peter, stopping him in his tracks as he falls into the raging and powerful sea. Even the most accomplished and respected of God's people can give in to their fears, and it can happen quickly. 1 minute we're on a spiritual high, and the next minute we may be drowning in fear. And have no doubt, both Elijah's and Peter's fears are legitimate. And their fears are not just game changers, but they are life changers. And our fears are legitimate too. No matter how much we fight against it or hate it, fear is part of our life. But fear can rob us of the abundant life which God intends for us to have. It's been a challenging week. Maybe it's because I had these texts on my mind all week, or maybe because it was a coincidence, but fear seems closer to the surface than normal this week. An older gentleman shared with me that the conflict in North Korea has, for the first time in decades, made him honestly scared for our country. The events of racial hatred and bigotry unfolding in Charlottesville this weekend have instilled a different kind of fear. How many of us have been tempted to lock our children in the closet, figuratively, of course, until they are safe enough, or they're old enough to be safe from predators, drugs and alcohol, the bully down the street, all the isms, and the other terrifying perils of growing up. Check out our homebound list in the worship folder and our list of those who are ill. We have legitimate fears about our own health and the health of those we love. We fear broken relationships with family and friends. School started this week. Parents fear putting their child on that big yellow school bus for the first time. Kids can fear whether they'll fit in, whether they'll get along with their new teachers, how to open those ridiculous sixth grade lockers, and whether they can keep up the grades to get into that college of choice. Those heading to college and their parents have a list of fears a mile long. We fear what will happen when our job goes away or when we can't get one. We fear not living up to expectations. We fear people finding out who we really are. We fear disappointing ourselves, others, and even God. How many of us took vacations this summer to get away from the world, to hide out, maybe not in a cave or under the waves, but hide out in a park for the day or in a coffee shop, binging on Netflix, on the beach, or in the mountains? We too might have felt alone, doubting, exhausted, overwhelmed, and even under attack. Did we too wait for that still, small voice of God, strength from God, or God's hand reaching out to us before we too can move on? God doesn't promise to take our fear away, but God promises to come to us in our fear. God promises to be with us in our fear. Elijah hid in the cave, and God came to Elijah. Not as Elijah expected. Not as God had come to Elijah's forefathers. Not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but God came to Elijah in a way Elijah needed. In a still, small voice, God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And God did not leave him alone. God gave him a plan. God saw beyond the fear to the future, to the next stage of Elijah's life, to what Elijah could be. As the disciples feared for their lives on the raging sea, Jesus came to them as a ghost upon the water, a way in which they did not expect. And as Peter began to sink, Jesus doesn't urge Peter to be strong. But instead, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed hold of Peter. And he said, "What are you doing, Peter? Why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat and the storm ceased. Jesus saw beyond Peter's immediate fear. He saw what the disciple Peter could and would do. God promises, yes, promises to come to us in our fears too, giving us comfort and courage and presence. And as with Elijah and Peter, God is faithful in meeting those promises. As we hide in the darkest part of our cave, as we begin to sink into the depths of the ocean, or as the raging seas seek to overwhelm us, God says to us, "What are you doing here, Karen?" God will prevail over all the powers and chaos that threaten destruction of our individual lives and our world. God promises, though, to do more than be with us in our fear. When we listen to that still, small voice, when we take the hand that Jesus offers us, God sees beyond our fear and into what we can do and who we can be as a child of God. God's promise and vision for us is greater than any fear that we can have. Amen.